the nature itself knows how to organize the system. And the farmer's work is a work of observing and managing these plants.
This is The Butterfly Effect, a podcast that shows the big impact a small action can do. Tali Orad is talking to those special people that make a difference with nature and trees.
Welcome everyone to The Butterfly Effect. My name is Tali Orad. I'm your host and your butterfly here. My special guest today is Breno Vega. Breno is an agroforester that has been developing ways to promote the knowledge surrounding agroforestry systems throughout communities. He is the co-creator of the documentary film El Perdido, The Lost Connection in English, that is seeking to reconciliate between men and nature through the lens of agroforestry. Breno is also the co-founder of Econavi, a new platform that helps facilitate this lost connection. Welcome, Breno, to the Butterfly Effect.
Thank you very much, Tali.
Maybe we should start with explaining what is agroforestry.
Basically, agroforestry is a system that combines crops with forest trees and big wood trees. It's a way for farmers to grow their crops and be able to also grow trees.
And is it one type of crops or is it a mix of them?
It's a mix of them, and actually each agroforestry has the characteristic of that farmer that is planting. Agroforestry gives you like a full range of possibilities. Everywhere you go, it's different. So if you go more on the south of Brazil, you have different types of plants. If you go in the north, it's different. So also like the biomes of species counts. And also the ability of the farmer. So some farmers will use like a huge biodiversity because they have knowledge of many plants, so they're able to use many crops and many plants. Other farmers will prefer to go a bit more conservative and will use consortiums of less plants. It's basically, it's what the farmer comes in his head. He's able to do what he wants.
It reminds me, it seems like it's really like what Mother Nature is doing naturally, right? Trying to bring it to the farmer and have them, right?
One of the principles of agrofloresta is to repeat the natural process of the forest. So if you walk on a forest, you look on the soil, you always see the leaves on the top of the soil. This means that organic matter should always be on the top of the soil to protect life, to create life, to conserve temperature of the soil. And so actually Ernest Goetsch, one of the pioneers of this subject here, he calls it agroecosystems. So that's the term that what we call agroforest. Some of them call it agroecosystems. Basically creating crops on the system of the forest.
And how long is agroforestry exist?
This technique has always existed, you know, but the concept agroforest grows about in the 90s in Brazil. And after Ernest Goetsch studies came out, he gave good concepts that translated the nature to academic talk. But if you look in the on the history of civilization, if you look how indigenous tribes were working, they have always been doing agroforests somehow, because it's the management of the forest and planting in the forest. You open an area in the forest, you plant, and then after a while you move to another area. And after some years you get back to the area that you abandoned and the forest has regenerated. So it's an intelligent process of going through the system and getting back and make it possible that the forest regenerate and you always are able to use that those resources. So I would say that agroforestry has existed since we existed in planet Earth, but with other names.
You mentioned some benefits of that? What are the advantage of agroforestry versus the traditional?
Yeah, the conventional agriculture, right?
So yes.
What we call conventional agriculture is that agriculture using a lot of inputs coming from outside, chemicals. So this conventional agriculture is not well seen anymore. Mm-hmm. For a moment, it was thought that if man planted only one crop, he would produce a lot. So what we see now that this is a total disadvantage farming. And actually, agroforestry has all the advantages, you know. So one of the advantages is the input. During time, you reduce the use of inputs because you produce the inputs inside of the crops with the pruning of the trees and the organic matter and also the symbiotic relations of the forest. So all the microorganisms that are present in the forest that sometimes we don't see, they're working for the abundance of that system.
So when you say input, what do you mean by input? Is that like new plants that you need to introduce?
Input in the agriculture conventional, I mean like bringing from outside. So you want to plant something, you need to bring inputs from outside to make possible your planting.
So you don't need to fertilize.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So the forest itself produces its own fertilizing system. Mm-hmm. With the action of bees, of ants, of microorganisms that mm-hmm. brings the organic matter to the soil. When two trees there start to compete in a space, they mm-hmm. will decide which one is the best to continue. And the one that goes out to become organic matter in the soil. And this one goes out to make it possible for the other to thrive. It's a kind of a collaborative system that goes in the network of roots. And also they send signals to microorganisms. So when you see some ant that is destroying a tree, let's say like you walk on the forest or on the agroforest crop and you see some ants in one of the plants, that means that plant must go out. So we understand everything as a signal of the forest, of the nature.
So we do not need to use chemical for pest control when we're using agroforestry.
So for an agroforester person, you don't have pests in the crops or in the nature. You change your mentality on the way you see. So if you see an ant eating one plant, she's eating that plant because that plant is not in its correct position or it needs to go away so others can thrive. So right. we observe as signals of what must be done in that area. So if you see an ant going after one tree specifically, you have to see which kind of disturb is going on and why they want to take off that, because it's an intelligent system, so they're not just going there and eating some plant, you know. They mm-hmm. receive stimulus from the forest, from the trees, and they know why they're taking out that piece of wood, maybe because it's old or because it's not developing well. There is always a reason why the animals and all these small microorganisms do their actions in the forests.
And you will see it later on with a better results in the farming, in the crops?
Yeah, because the main engine of the forest is the pruning process. Because when you prune, you stimulate the growing of trees. Mm-hmm. So if one tree has to go out, it goes out for the others to thrive.
Yes.
And the whole process of agroforest, let's say I want to plant cedar mm-hmm. from the long term. So if I want to plant cedar, I have to plant cassava. I have to plant lime. I have to plant coffee because the cedar is coming in 20, 30 years for me. Until there, I'm going to plant lots of crops and trees that will help the cedar to achieve its position in the forest. If you get a soil that is not very well composted and you plant a cedar, the cedar is not going to grow because that system is not good. But if you plant cassava, corn, coffee, lemon, if you plant loads of plants that is similar to that plant or has the same characteristic of that natural system, it will give conditions for the trees of the future to come stronger, better, and in good conditions.
So that's amazing. So it seems like agroforestry enables biodiversity. It helps soil, I'm assuming less erosion, and at the end is also becoming carbon sequestrator. So it's all those things, and it provides food in different times, right? Because you have different plants for the farmer and his family or whomever in that community.
One of the main things also is the photosynthesis process. So what agroforest people do is they maximize the potential of the sun. First of all, you always have to look to the plants and understand where they are the original forests of that plant. So let's say the cocoa, also the coffee has been it's been starting to be grow under the trees, you know. So they realize that the coffee is a plant of the bushes, is a bush of the forest, and he actually likes the shadow. So what happens is that you need to understand each plant, how many sunlight that plant requires, how was it originally raised in the forest naturally. And you try to imitate this process in your crops, you know, so you put them in the correct timing and in the correct position. If, for instance, you make an experiment and you try to put a plant and that plant is not in the correct position or in the correct timing, probably that plant will be attacked by some ant or some other animal because the nature itself knows how to organize the system. And the farmer's work is a work of observing and managing these plants.
You're from Brazil and everything you've done is in Brazil, but I'm just curious, do you think it will work anywhere else in the world?
Definitely. There are actually at this point, there are Brazilians going everywhere because it's quite a revolution what's going on. When you see it going, you really look and you say, okay, that's it. That's what we needed to do, you know, like to have abundance of food and forest. Actually, this knowledge is starting to spread. So some of these pioneers on the agroforestry, they are already traveling other countries. So we see activity in Australia, which has a similar climate of Brazil. Also in Mozambique, it has a growing activity now. So in tropical countries, it's quite being reproduced. But also in temperate forest, we see some activity in Portugal, Spain, Italy. So the idea is that anywhere can imitate this process. Once you understand the forests of your region, so which are the trees of that region? So let's say in a temperate climate, you use berries, you will have pears, apples. So you do a forest of a temperate climate forest using the same principles, the same organization methods, basically, and just adapted to that climate.
In the film, you try to follow some farmers and follow and show the trend that is in Brazil. You created it together with Simon Luling and you guys traveled all over Brazil to show the communities that uses those technologies. What made you start and do that film?
Our story started a bit before of the film. I was living in Amsterdam. I was taking a master in environment in social ecological systems in the University of Amsterdam. And Simon was my neighbor in the dormitories. Mm-hmm. And we became friends. And after I came to Brazil, I started working with agroforests. And I started an experiment in Belo Horizonte. I built a garden there that I worked for 2 years in this urban garden. And I applied the agroforest methods in an urban garden. So like basically I was supposed to grow lettuce, tomatoes and aubergines. But I was doing more than that. I was growing the garden in a forest system. And this started in 2016. So there now they have trees, they are producing fruits, and it's not possible to have the garden anymore because the trees have grown. Mm-hmm. And so the system has evolved for to another level of forests, right? Because mm-hmm. that's the thing, you start with a garden, you can only grow the garden for 2 years because after you have shadow. And I was doing this work there, and he saw on the internet, and he said, "Man, I'm let's make a movie about it." And I said, "Okay, I will show you what's going on in Brazil." We just started traveling, and it was amazing to see everywhere, you know, like this growing enthusiasm. Everybody seeing agroforests as a way to preserve nature and to have food and to have security of income. We traveled everywhere. We went to the Amazon, we went to Mata Atlântica, we went to the south. Mm-hmm. And that was the real moment we realized it. I talked with Simon, said, "Man, I think we need to create a tool so that everybody can show what they're doing. Some people can see what the other is doing." Mm-hmm. Agroforest is a very complex system. It requires a lot of interaction between people. So, I mean, I'm growing here strawberries with broccoli. And then, you know, someone else is growing strawberry with cassava somewhere else. And I want to know how this guy is doing. He wants to know what I'm doing, what happened to my planting that went wrong, what went good. So this exchange of information is very, very positive. So if you want to start a system, you really need to see all this experience and see what is good or bad to keep the development of the sector, you know.
So the film made you realize that there is a need to collaborate between people to share the knowledge.
What happens is that the knowledge about forests and farming has been lost over the years, right? There was a gap in this history that, mm-hmm. so, okay, everybody understands that it's good, but when you go to start, suddenly you need to know about all these plants, and then this becomes a challenge, which is a good challenge. People like this challenge, so it's kind of a laboratory to grow and see and try to recover this knowledge, you know?
Yeah.
So agroforest mainly works to recover this knowledge and to make sure we're going to have forests in the future.
Yeah, and there was one thing I remember from the film that kind of like stayed with me. It was this one person that uses the method of agroforestry in an area filled with other monoplantation. And he said that everyone thought he's crazy to do it. And I think I'm quoting him when he says, "There is no value in the forest," in that term. And what is the forest really worth? And at the end, you kind of like show that he's actually very successful right now. And that this partnership between the forest and his crops was very successful. So that was really, really strong.
Yes, that was Hudson from Viveiro Anoa. Basically, what he was saying is that we don't understand the value of the forest, right? So like for the civilization, the forest has no value. Actually, there is a lot of value. Once you understand the value of the forest, all the possibilities in life, they open to you. Planet Earth is an intelligent system. And like monoculture farmer, he's fighting against an intelligent system.
Mm-hmm.
He spent the whole year fighting against microorganisms and what he calls pests. He's every day there fighting, trying to stop them. And if he goes away of his crop for 1 month, he loses everything, right? Because he spent his whole life fighting against the intelligent system. But the agroforester, he does the opposite. He says, okay, there is an intelligent system here. Let's use it in our favor.
Yeah.
If you think that the ant is an enemy, go together with her.
Yeah.
So you start looking everything with different eyes.
Yeah.
So suddenly everything changes, you know. Suddenly everything has a utility and every living being has a function in the system. And this is a whole change of holistic looking for life.
I must ask you, in the film, there was another part where you actually show a demonstration of a group of people preparing the area for agroforestry and planting. One thing that caught my eyes is they were cutting down some of the trees to do it. And when I was thinking agroforestry, I would expect them to incorporate with whatever exists over there. But they clean the entire land. So I'm just curious why.
Going down of trees is also a process of the forest, you know, like.
But that's happening naturally. Here, they actively took them down.
He's going to take one tree to grow 100.
Mm-hmm.
Like agroforest is really good for land that has been devastated, that you don't need to cut nothing down. You're just planting.
Right.
But sometimes some person, maybe in his land, he has one area and maybe he's going to have to manage one of the trees, but he's not killing the tree.
Mm-hmm.
It's called like a drastic pruning, that actually the tree comes back after a while, you know.
Yeah.
You do a drastic pruning, you plant on the surrounding, and you see in 1 month that it starts sprouting again, that tree. And maybe if it's a mango tree, it will produce even better mango after the pruning, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a philosophy of the system, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because also in the indigenous people, it was said that when a tree is on the floor, it's when the party happens. Because, I mean, if you look to abundance system, like if you are in a huge forest, you know, like mm-hmm. one tree that falls, it's actually a party because the food comes down to the soil. All the animals come to eat that tree. All the life is going to be reborn in that small area where that tree is down. Also for the people of the village, they will have material to work. So the death of a tree is not necessarily a problem. It's also a process to bring regeneration in the system.
Yes, and we should just make it clear, it doesn't give anybody the privilege to take down trees. That's a natural process. And there's actually a big issue in Brazil and the Amazon rainforest where it is being cut down for logging, burned down for cattle and soy farms. You touched a little bit on that in the film.
Yeah, like this process is going on for years, right? So This is totally different from doing agroforest, right? Because when they go to do this, their focus is to simply take off the trees and take it to somewhere else. And, you know, after they cut down the trees, they put a pasture, you know. That's how it's been the story, you know, like.
So do you think that agroforestry can help here instead of just clear cutting for different purposes?
So you have to touch the economy to produce the correct incentives. And once they see that it's more profitable to have the forest in standing, we can start having some change. But until there, the agroforest is a movement of small farmers. You know, they don't have a power to interfere in politics or to even to discuss with these people. You know, there is actually a war, you know, because agroforest people are environmentalists and it's quite a conflict, you know. There is growing interest also, like from big farmers that realize that they need to plant. If we do a good work, maybe in 10 years or 20 years, we will have people planting a lot of agroforests here, you know.
The goal for the film and also for Econavi is basically to raise awareness and re-educate, right, about the values of agroforestry.
And also to offer a philosophy of life, agroforest. So we give hope to people. They can go to the fields, they can recover some degraded area, they can plant, and if they plant lots of crops, they will have more safety. And so we are showing that there is a way to go through all the problems, you know, and to be safe economically and healthily. You know, it's possible to put together economy and health and forests, you know.
Yeah.
And agroforest shows that you can combine everything, you know.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that you finish with hope, and that agroforestry can help us preserve and regenerate and obviously reconnect to nature. So that's beautiful. And I'll leave the link to the film if anybody wants to watch it. It's in Portuguese, but there are subtitles in English.
Yes.
What is your favorite tree?
The Samaúma tree. It's also known as the Mafumeira. The scientific name is Ceiba pentandra.
Mm-hmm.
And she is the queen of the forest.
In what way?
She can grow up to 90 meters mm-hmm. tall. She is the hugest tree in the north of the Amazon. And we saw one, me and Simon. It was mm-hmm. the first time I saw one of them. We were in Mato Grosso and you could see it so far away, and we got to do a picnic around the tree, and it was so amazing. It was about 30 people to hug the tree, and you look on to the sky, and it's like looking a skyscraper in New York, you know. But it's actually a tree, and you look, it's so big, and that gives you like peace, you know. You look at a tree like that, you say, okay, there is future, you know. You imagine how it was in the past also, and it gives so much energy, you know. So
I love it. Thank you so much, Breno, for joining me today.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be in the Butterfly Effect.
And thank you everyone for joining me today. We are all beautiful butterflies, each in his and her individual ways. I wanted to thank you for joining me today in this episode. I really appreciate you coming on this journey with me, and I hope you can join me next time. And remember, it only takes a small action to make a big difference. Be a butterfly.
And that's all for this episode. Thank you for joining us today. Please subscribe to hear more of our stories of change.